mountains, but I'm not leaving. I cut him off. You can't be here, Castile replied. Not when they come. This is not up for discussion. I shot to my feet. Let me make one thing clear. I don't know if you realize this or not, Castile, but I'm not duty-bound to obey a single thing you say. Castile stiffened. And maybe you should actually look at me when you try to order me to do things. I tacked on. He turned to me, his head cocked. I'm looking at you now. But are you listening?
Oh, man,
Delano murmured under his breath as the rest of the room went dead silent.
Someone is getting stabbed again.
Someone, I think it was Jasper, snorted.
Oh, I'm listening,
Castile replied. Maybe you should try that, along with this thing called common sense.
Definitely getting stabbed, Kieran confirmed.
I stepped around the table, aware that Delano appeared to be sinking into his chair. Are you serious?
Are you armed?
Castile asked with a smirk.
You are, aren't you?
I'm so confused by what is happening here, Nova whispered with a slight frown.
Apparently she already stabbed him once,
Jasper informed the Guardian.
In the heart.
Nova looked at me.
And she cut me earlier tonight, threw a knife right at my face another time.
Castile ticked off his fingers.
Then this one time in the woods she—
No one wants to hear about how many times I've made you bleed, I snapped.
I do,
Jasper remarked. Emil raised his hand.
So do I. Look, not only is it not wise for the one thing they want to be here within their grasp, I don't want to worry about you handing yourself over,
Castile stated.
You know, like before.
That is not a mistake I will make again, I stated.
But you were just thinking about it, weren't you?
He stepped to the side so Delano was no longer seated between us.
I was,
I admitted,
for a couple of minutes,
but you were right. His brows lifted.
Blessed be the gods. Someone mark the date and time. She just admitted I was right.
Oh, shut up, I bit back. Fine with me.
Conversation is over. You'll leave with Alistair and Kieran immediately.
He started to turn.
I am not leaving.
I lifted my chin when he spun back to me.
You have to make me. You'll have to drag me all the way to Atlantia yourself.
His chin dipped as anger pounded through him, reaching me.
Or I could just compel you.
My skin went cold. You wouldn't dare. His jaw flexed, and then he spat out a curse. The ice left me. He wouldn't do that.
This is different, Poppy. Different than the Rise, or the Craven, or the Dead Bones Clan. You should leave,
the Guardian spoke.
I saw what you can do, out there with Delano, but that will be of no use when it's time to fight. You will be nothing but a distraction to our prince. You will be a liability.
Slowly, I turned to the woman.
Excuse me?
Nova stared back at me.
I mean no offense. I'm only stating facts. Your facts are grossly incorrect, I told her. Just to point out the most obvious of your inaccuracies, what I did for Delano would actually come in handy when and if people are injured. That,
I sent a dark look in Castile's direction,
is common sense.
Her eyes narrowed.
As far as me being a liability, I'm just as good with a sword as I am with a bow, and I'm damn good with a bow. Probably better than most here. I'm an asset, I said. And as far as being a distraction to Castile, that's his weakness, not mine.
Nova's chin lifted, and I felt a measure of respect from the Guardian. It was buried under layers of wariness, but it was there.
She's not lying, Castile said, watching me. Penelope can fight, and her skill with a sword and aim with an arrow are leagues above that of a trained soldier. She is never a liability.
My gaze shifted to him.
So then it's settled?
His lips thinned as he shook his head.
You need my help,
I told him, drawing in a shallow breath.
And I need to be here. They are coming for me, and I have to be able to do something. I need to fight back, not stand by and do nothing.
Castile's eyes met mine and stayed,
And I thought maybe he understood then why I couldn't walk away, why doing so would make me feel helpless. But even then, I braced for more of a fight, because this was different. This was battle, and I could feel the mess of emotions in him, the conflict. But then he nodded.
Okay, you stay,
he said, and I breathed out a sigh of relief.
We'll discuss what exactly that means later.
My eyes narrowed.
What of me? Kieran demanded then. If Penelope is staying, there still needs to be two of you.
Castile interrupted, and I sensed the bone-deep weariness in him.
Delano can't make the trip, and you're faster than Nail, and most Atlanteans here.
Kieran stiffened while his father watched on in silence.
And this is an order.
Meeting Kieran's eyes, Castile nodded.
Yes, it is.
The Wolven's jaw worked so hard I was surprised we didn't hear it crack. He shook his head. Disbelief and anger radiated from him, but I felt something else, something deeper that was warm and stronger than the anger.
I know why you're doing this,
Kieran whispered. Castile said nothing for a long moment and then said,
It's not the only reason.
Words went unsaid between them, but were understood nonetheless. Whatever it was caused Kieran to nod, to accept Castile's order. Then Kieran moved forward, clasping Castile around the back of the neck.
If you get yourself killed, Kieran said, I'm going to be pissed.
One side of Castile's lips kicked up.
I won't fool my brother.
Castile pulled him in for a tight, one-armed hug.
That I can promise you.
Exhaling raggedly, Kieran returned the embrace. Maybe I was just tired. I don't know, but I wanted to cry as I watched them, even though I wouldn't let myself consider the possibility that they would not see each other again, that their bond could be severed. Kieran stepped back, looking at his father. Jasper was already on his feet, moving to his son.
I've always been proud of you.
He curved a hand around the back of Kieran's head.
I've always had confidence in you. I know we will see each other again.
Kieran nodded. And as he pulled away from his father, I took a tentative step forward. Kieran, he looked at me. Please try to be careful, I said. He lifted his brows.
Are you worried about me?
Crossing my arms, I nodded.
Don't be nice to me,
he replied, and I sensed amusement from him.
It weirds me out.
Sorry. He smiled then as he walked to where I stood.
You don't sound remotely sorry.
I grinned at him.
Do me a favor, Kieran said, looking down at me. Protect your prince, Poppy.
I didn't see Castile for the rest of the day. After saying goodbye to Alistair, I returned to the room while he left to go and speak with the people of Spessa's End. I'd started to ask to go with him, but upon remembering the townspeople's reaction the night before, I realized I would only be a distraction, the kind that could prove deadly to the people of Spessa's End if they were busy staring at me instead of listening to Castile. I'd expected him to return, not so much to finish our conversation, since there were far more important things going on, but because he needed to sleep. But the morning gave way to the afternoon, and Castile still didn't show. I didn't stay in the room. I prepared. Luckily, Vanetta had been near when I stepped out into the courtyard, and she was willing to indulge me in a training session. Handling a sword or a bow wasn't a technique you forgot, but it was one that could become rusty with neglect. Plus, she was a Wolven, faster and stronger than a mortal, and fighting her would be a lot like fighting a knight. I needed the practice. We drew a bit of a crowd, but Castile was still with the people. According to Vanetta, he was helping to determine who could fight. When I saw Castile again, it was when Delano brought me to the small room off the dining room, where dinner was spent discussing strategies. The fact that Castile had thought to include me in the meeting didn't go unnoticed by me or by anyone else in the room. By the time night arrived and I'd returned to the bedchamber, Castile still hadn't. I spent several hours nervously pacing and thinking about things,
about everything that had happened before Castile entered my life, and everything that had happened since. I thought about my gift, how it was changing, how I glowed like moonlight, and I thought about all that Castile had said, and what had been left unsaid. I thought about how I was so damn tired of pretending. At some point, after walking myself ragged, I finally fell asleep, dressed just in case the Ascended showed. I wasn't even sure what woke me, but when I opened my eyes, the grayish light of dawn crept into the room, and Castile was in the bed beside me, propped up against a mountain of pillows, his long legs stretched out in front of him, crossed at the ankles, feet bare. His hands were loose in his lap. He was awake, looking at me. "Are you watching me sleep?"
"Not now. I was a few minutes ago," he admitted, one side of his lips curving up. "Now I'm talking to you."
"That's creepy," I murmured. "The watching me while I sleep part."
"Possibly."
"You have no shame." I rolled onto my back. He smiled faintly at that, but it didn't reach his eyes. Eyes that were tired. "Have you slept at all?"
"Not yet."
The mess that was my hair toppled over my shoulders as I sat up. "I know you're this insanely powerful elemental, but you need rest." That half-grin appeared, the dimple in his right cheek peeking.
"Are you worried about me, princess?"
I started to tell him no, to deny that I was, because that was what I'd always done. It was the easiest and safest. But I was tired of lying, of pretending. That was something else I'd thought about as I stood on the rise overnight after preparing myself for the inevitable. I thought about my future, who I used to be, who I was becoming, and who I wanted to be. And it was strange how revelations felt like they happened all of a sudden, but in reality it took many small, almost indiscernible moments over the course of weeks, months, and years. Bottom line, I knew I didn't want to be someone who hid anymore. Whether behind a veil, to others, or to myself. Just like I'd said at dinner, I hadn't changed because of Castile. I'd been in the process long before he came into my life. But he was a catalyst. Just like all those times I'd snuck out to explore, the books I'd been forbidden yet read, and when I smiled at the Duke, knowing I'd be punished later. Victor's death was also a turning point. "I am," I told him. "I am worried about you." Castile stared at me, and I didn't need to read him to know that my answer had shocked him. "They're going to come. The Ascended could be here by tonight. You need sleep, to be rested." I paused. "And maybe stop staring at me."
"I..." He blinked, and then his body relaxed once more. "I will rest. We both will. But we need to finish our conversation. It can't wait."
His gaze returned to mine.
"Not any longer."
My heart kicked around in my chest as I leaned back against the pillows. Where do we start?" He laughed softly.
"Gods, I think I know where to start. You asked if I have any shame. I do have some."
He looked over at me.
"Almost all the shame I've ever felt has to do with you. I hated lying to you, Poppy. I hated that I was capable of planning to take you, to use you, without ever knowing you. That I even have that capability inside me. I can feel shame for that, but if given the chance to do it again, I would do it exactly the same."
Castile's gaze flickered over my face.
"I wasn't lying earlier when I said I didn't plan for any of this to happen. It's not that I wasn't willing to use everything I had to gain your trust. If it took pretty words and kisses and my body, I would have used them all. I would have done anything to free Malik."
"But he wouldn't. He didn't."
"That's what the Knight in the Red Pearl was about. When you asked me why I would kiss you, why I stayed in the room with you, it was because I knew I could use that to my advantage. I feel shame for that, but I wouldn't have done anything differently.
He let his head fall back against the pillows, his gaze never leaving mine. But I didn't plan on actually enjoying your company. I didn't plan on coming to look forward to talking to you, and I didn't plan on the guilt that came with my actions. I didn't plan on, well, I didn't plan on caring about you. My breath snagged in my chest as a tremble coursed through me. I planned on taking you the night of the rite, when I led you out to the garden, to the willow. Kieran and the others were waiting for us. I was going to take you then while everyone else was busy and before you even had an idea of what was happening. But you didn't. If I had, you never would have witnessed Victor's death. You wouldn't have seen any of that. Honest to God's Poppy, I had no idea they were going to attack. I know. I believe you. And I did. His shoulders loosened. Why didn't you take me?
I don't know.
His brows knitted. No, that's a lie. I didn't take you then because I knew the moment I did, you would stop looking at me like I was just Hawk. You would stop opening up to me, talking to me, seeing me. You'd hate me. I wasn't ready for that. I wasn't ready for him to admit that. He swallowed as his gaze lifted to the bed's canopy. When I touched you in the blood forest, I knew I shouldn't have, but I wanted to be your first. I needed to be your first everything. Kiss, touch, pleasure. Oh, gods. His jaw worked as he slowly shook his head. Kieran, fuck. I thought he might actually punch me when he realized what I'd done, but he knew and... Castile cleared his throat. The night in New Haven, when I came to your room, I didn't plan that. I wanted it, gods did I ever. It was all I could think about, it seemed, and damn if that wasn't a fucking difference. But I didn't plan to do that with you, when you had no idea who I was. Pressure clamped down on my chest. That's why you didn't want me to call you Hawk that night. I thought it was because that wasn't technically your name. It's because you didn't know who that name was attached to. He dragged his teeth across his lip. I should have walked out of that room. If I were a better man, I would have. I feel shame for that, but gods, I don't regret it. How terrible is that? My throat sealed, and it took a bit for me to unclog it. I hated that you weren't honest with me then, but I don't regret it. I never did. His gaze swung to mine.
Don't say stuff like that.
Why? Because it makes me want to strip you naked and sink so deep in you that neither of us will know where we start and end. His eyes flared an intense gold. And then we'd never finish this conversation. Oh, I whispered, his words sending a heated wave through me. Okay, then. The smile returned, but it was quick to disappear. What I said that night still holds true. I'm not worthy of you. I knew that then. I know that still. But that hasn't stopped me from wanting you. That hasn't stopped me from concocting a plan where I can have you, if only until this is over. It didn't stop me from wanting everything from you, from pretending that I could have everything, Poppy. I wasn't sure if I was even breathing. And I know you're probably still angry with me about wanting to leave, wanting you to go with Kieran, but I... He closed his eyes. After what was done to me and everything that happened afterward, I didn't think I was capable of truly wanting or needing someone like I do you. I didn't believe it was possible, and there have been so many times, too many times, that I've wanted this to be real. What part did you want to be real? All of it. That I had accepted my brother's fate, that I was bringing home my wife, and that there was this future I no longer believed I would have. That was all I could think about earlier. The idea of you being here when they came. I felt the fear already.
When that bastard ascended took you at New Haven, I thought I'd lost you. He swallowed again. And I know too much has happened for any of that to be real. I know I've hurt you. I know when you said you carried the guilt for my actions, you weren't lying. And I'm... Gods, Poppy, I'm sorry. You don't deserve that. You don't deserve everything that I've laid at your feet, and you sure as hell don't deserve the fact that I'm still trying to hold on to you. That when it comes time for you to leave, I'm still going to want you. Even when you inevitably do leave, I'll still want you. He would have let you go, but I doubt you would have been free of him. Isn't that what Kieran had said? I don't know what any of that means. I've long since stopped trying to figure it out. His lashes lowered, shielding his gaze. Can you tell me? Can you read me and tell me? In that moment, I couldn't concentrate enough to read a book, but I knew what I needed from him. Tell me about her. Castile's gaze met mine, and he looked fractured as he looked away, returning to stare at his hands. He was silent for so long that I didn't think he would speak, that he wouldn't say anything, but then he answered. We grew up together, Shay and me. Our families were close, obviously, and we were friends at first. Somehow, at some point, it became something more. I don't even know how or when, but I loved her. At least, I think that's what I felt. She was brave and smart, wild. I thought I would spend my entire life with her, and then I got myself captured, and she came for me. My heart sank and plummeted even further when he moved suddenly, rising from the bed. I don't even know how many times she and Malik came for me. It had to be dozens. And you see, they never gave up on me. They believed I was alive. All those years, they kept searching for me. He thrust a hand through his hair. And then they found me. I barely recognized them when they appeared in front of my cell. I thought I was hallucinating, imagining that my brother and Shay were there, all but carrying me out of the dungeon into the tunnels. I was in bad shape, hadn't fed in a while, weak, disoriented. I don't even know exactly when the two ascended appeared, but they were suddenly there, as if they'd be waiting for us. They had been. I scooted to the edge of the bed as he walked over to the terrace doors. What do you mean? I mean they knew I was going to be freed that day. They knew that my brother, the true heir, was coming. An Atlantean older and stronger than me, and he was going to be within their reach. Understanding started to creep in, and I didn't want it to be true. Oh, gods, I didn't. There was a fight, and all I remember was Shay pulling me away, tugging me away from Malik, talking me through this maze of tunnels. He exhaled roughly. All she kept saying was that she was sorry, that she had no choice. I lifted my hands to my mouth, almost wishing he wouldn't continue. One of the ascended came after us, cornered us, and he told me everything. Taunted me with it. Shay had been caught when she and Malik had split up while looking for me. The ascended were going to kill her, and she told them who she was with. She gave up my brother in exchange for her life. Oh, gods, I whispered, heart cracking as his pain reached out to me, mingling with my own. They thought she was going to leave me behind. That's what they agreed. A two-for-one special. He laughed, but it was harsh. They weren't prepared for Malik to put up such a fight. That was how Shay got me out. I didn't believe the Ascended. I tried to protect her, and then she tried to barter again. My life for hers, and I... Once it seeped through the haze, through the hunger, that she was the reason they had my brother instead of me, and that she would hand me over to them again, I lost it. I killed the Ascended. I killed her. With my bare hands. I don't even know if it was panic that drove her actions. It had to be. She wasn't a bad person. But it couldn't have been love.
No, it couldn't have been, I said. I know I don't have experience, but if you love someone, you could never do that to them. I'm sorry to even say that. I didn't know her, but I just know you could never do that to someone you love.
No, you couldn't. I know that.
His head bowed.
I think she did love me at some point. Why else would she continue searching for me? Or maybe she felt that was what was expected of her. I don't know. But I would have chosen death if that meant saving the one I loved.
He dragged a hand over his face as he kept his back to me.
I tried to find Malik after that, but I couldn't find my way through the tunnels. I fucking stumbled out onto the beach at some point, and by the luck of the gods, a man found me.
He lowered his hand.
So, that's why I don't talk about her. That's why I don't speak her name. Because as much as I once loved her, I hate her now. And I hate what I did.
I shuddered, unable to find words, because there were none.
Alistair doesn't know.
He turned to me then.
Only Kieran and my brother know the truth. Alistair can never know that his daughter betrayed Malik, our kingdom. It's not that I'm trying to protect myself. I can deal with him learning that she died by my hands, but it would kill him to learn the truth of what she did.
I won't ever say anything, I promised. I don't know how you've kept that to yourself. It has to... I trailed off, letting out a ragged breath. It has to eat you up inside.
I'd rather do that than let the truth destroy a man who's been nothing but loyal to our kingdom and people.
He leaned against the wall, eyes closing again.
And Shay, I don't know if it's right or wrong that people believe she died a hero. I don't care if it's wrong.
I stared at him, seeing what I never thought existed under any of the masks he wore. His body had been tortured as well as his soul. I wish I knew what to say. I wish you never had to do that after everything else you'd been through. I hate that you feel guilt, and I know you do. She betrayed you. She betrayed herself. And I'm sorry. Castile opened his mouth. I know you don't want my sympathies, but you have them nonetheless. That doesn't mean I pity you. It's just that... I stopped searching his emotions then. I understand why you never wanted to speak of her. And I understood now why Kieran advised me to never go down that road. Castile nodded as he turned back to the terrace doors. There was something I didn't understand. Gianna is Alistair's great niece, and the marriage to her was his idea? When he nodded, I said, and he was okay with you marrying his niece when you were once with his daughter?
He was.
I wrinkled my nose. Maybe it's just me, but that would weird me out. Granted, I don't live for hundreds of years, or...
It was one of the reasons I could never agree to that union, he said. And it's not Gianna's fault. She's a good person. You'd like her.
I wasn't sure about that.
But she looks like Shay. Not exactly, but the resemblance is there. And it was weird, even to me. But even if she looked nothing like her, I never thought of her in that way.
Unsure of how to feel about the knowledge that this Gianna actually looked like Shay, a woman Castile had once loved and was betrayed by, I thought it over. After a few moments, I realized that none of that with Gianna and Alistair actually mattered. It was just background noise. What mattered was us. I know why you sent Kieran to Atlantia, I told him. You wanted to make sure he didn't risk his life to save yours. He was quiet for a moment.
It's not the only reason.
Alistair will call for our forces, and then he will go straight to my father and mother, tell them that I plan to marry, and he'll express his doubts. That's the last thing anyone needs. That was what Castile had meant when he spoke to Kieran. What had caused the Wolven to relent. Knowing how much it had cost him to talk about Shay, and now knowing what he carried with him, it made what I said next easier than expected. I was telling the truth last night at dinner. Chapter 36. Slowly, Castile turned to me. It was the truth when I said you were the first thing I'd ever truly chosen for myself. It was also true that I chose you when you were just Hawk. And it's not just because you were the first person to ever really see me. That had something to do with it, of course. But if I wanted to experience pretty words or pleasure, I could have donned the mask once more and went back to the Red Pearl. I wanted you. My cheeks heated, but I continued. It was true that I had already begun to suspect the Ascended, and whether I could be the Maiden. And I chose you because you made me feel like I was someone, that I was a person and not merely an object. You saw me and accepted me. But what you don't know is that the night I asked you to stay with me, I had already left behind the veil. I'd made my choice. I wanted to find a way to be with you, even though I had no idea if you wanted that. And if you didn't, it would have hurt. But I was no longer the Maiden. I fell for you when you were Hawk, and I kept falling for you when you became Castile. His eyes widened, and I couldn't understand how I kept falling for you. I was so angry with you, with myself for not seeing the truth, and it felt like a betrayal to Victor and Rylan, the others, and myself. His chest rose with a heavy breath. And you still feel that way, like it's a betrayal to keep falling for me. He took a step and then another toward me before stopping. If so, I understand, Poppy. Some things can't be forgotten or forgiven, I said, rubbing my damp hands over my knees. But I think I realized, or have come to accept, that even then, some things can't be changed or stopped. That they still matter, but don't. That those emotions are powerful, but not as strong as others. That what I felt for you had nothing to do with what you did or didn't do. It had nothing to do with Victor or anyone else. And acknowledging that felt like permission to feel. And that scared me. I placed my hand against my chest. It still terrifies me, because I have never felt this way about anyone. And I know it has nothing to do with you being my first, or there being, well, limited options in my life. It's you. It's me. It's us. What I feel, like how I want to take your pain away and yet throttle you at the same moment, how your stupid dimples are infuriating, but I look for them every time you smile because I know that's a real smile. I don't know why I look forward to arguing with you, but I do. You're clever. And you're kinder than even you realize, even though I know you have earned the title of the Dark One. You're a puzzle I want to figure out, but at the same time don't. And when I realized you have so many masks, so many layers, I kept wanting to peel them back, even though I fear it will only hurt more in the end. I shook my head as I curled my fingers around the collar of my tunic. I don't understand any of this. Like, how do I want to stab you and kiss you at the same time? And I know you said that I deserve to be with someone who didn't kidnap me, or someone I didn't want to stab. Forget I said that, he said, closer to me when I looked up. I have no idea what I was talking about. Maybe I didn't even say that. My lips twitched. You totally said that. You're right, I did. Forget it. His eyes searched mine. Tell me why this terrifies you, please. My breath snagged. Because you could break my heart again. And what we're doing, it's bigger than us, and even your brother. You have to know that. We could actually change things, not just for your people, but also for the people of Solas.
I know that, he whispered, his chest rising and falling rapidly, his eyes luminous.
And things are already complicated and messy, and acknowledging what I want, what I feel, just makes it all the more complicated and scary, because this time,
tears burned in the back of my throat.
This time, I don't know how I will get over that. I know that probably makes me sound weak and immature or whatever, but it's just something I know.
It's not weak.
Castile came forward, but he didn't stand there. He didn't sit beside me. He lowered himself to his knees in front of me.
You're hot, Poppy. It is a gift I do not deserve.
He placed his hands on my knees as he lifted his gaze to mine.
But it is one I will protect until my dying breath. I don't know what that means.
He stopped, curling his fingers into the leggings, into my skin.
Okay, fuck, I do know what that means. It's why I'm in awe of everything you say or do, everything you are. It's why you're the first thing I think about when I wake, and the last thought I have when I fall asleep, replacing everything else. It's why when I'm with you, I can be quiet. I can just be. You know what that means.
He took one of my hands and pressed it to his chest, his heart.
Tell me what that means. Please.
Please. Twice in one conversation he'd said that, a word that didn't pass his lips often. And how could I refuse? I didn't just focus on him to get what I was now learning was a cursory reading of his emotions. I opened myself, forming the invisible tether to him and what he felt. It came back to me in a rush, and it was shocking. Not the heavy and thick like cream feel of concern. He worried about what was going to happen to his brother, his kingdom, to me. It wasn't the cool splash of surprise that made me think he didn't quite believe this conversation. The tangy, almost bitter taste of sadness was minimal. And the only time his agony hadn't been raw and nearly overpowering was when I'd taken his pain from him. That surprised me, yes. But what shocked me more was the sweetness on the tip of my tongue.
Do you feel that? He asked. What does it feel like?
Like, it reminds me of chocolate and berries.
I blinked back tears.
Berries? Strawberries? I've felt that from Victor, from Ian, and my parents. But I've never felt it like this. Like it's more decadent somehow. And I thought I knew what it was. It was the emotion behind the long looks and the seeking touches, the feeling behind the way his arm always tightened around me when we rode together, and why he was always messing with my hair. It was the emotion that drove him to draw that line he wouldn't cross with me. It was why he wouldn't use compulsion, and it was what allowed him to want to protect me but demanded that he allow me to protect myself. It was how, when he was with me, he didn't think of his kingdom, his brother, or the time he'd been a captive. And it was one of many things forbidden to me as the maiden. It was love. Don't cry.
He lifted my hand to his mouth and kissed the center of my palm.
I'm not crying. I'm not sad, I told him.
And he grinned. The stupid dimple in his right cheek appeared.
I hate that stupid dimple.
You know what I think?
He kissed the tip of my finger. I don't care. The dimple in his left cheek appeared. I think you feel the exact opposite when it comes to my stupid dimples. He was right, and I shuddered. Castile let go of my hands and stretched up, cupping my cheeks. He leaned in, pressing his forehead to mine, and I swore I felt his hands tremble. Always, he whispered in the breath we shared, your heart was always safe with me. It always will be. There is nothing I will protect more fiercely or with more devotion, Poppy. Trust in that, in what you feel from me, in me. Trust. As Castile, he'd never asked me to trust him. He knew how fragile that was. One crack could bring it all down. But I knew what I felt. I nodded. I don't want to pretend anymore. Neither do I. I don't know what that means for us, I whispered. Your people and your parents, they don't trust me. You're basically the closest thing to a mortal there is, and my lifespan is a blink. What do we do now? We won't worry about my people or my parents or our lifespans. Not right now. Not even later. We take this day by day. This is new to you, and in a way, it's new to me. Let's make a deal. You and your deals. His lips curved into a smile against mine. Let's make a deal that we don't borrow tomorrow's problems today. Tomorrow always came soon enough, but I nodded, because in the same breath, tomorrow wasn't today's problem. I can agree to that. Good. He drew back, and I thought there was a sheen to his eyes. If we're going to do this for real, then I feel like I need to make amends. And I know the list of things I should apologize for is long, but I think I should start with this. He moved then, rising so he was on one knee before me. My heart hadn't stopped racing and swelling from the moment we started to really talk. But now, it beat so fast, I didn't know how I didn't pass out. He took my hand and I wondered if he could feel it trembling. He could. Castile folded both hands around mine, steadying my hand. Penelope Balfour. He stared up at me, and there was no teasing glint to his eyes, no smirk to his lips, no mask. Just him. Castile Hawkthrone Danir. Will you do me the honor of allowing me to one day become worthy of you? Will you marry me? Today. Yes, I will give you the honor of becoming my husband, because you're already worthy of me. Castile's eyes closed as he shuddered. I will marry you. I dipped down, kissing his forehead. Today. It was like nothing and everything changed after I accepted Castile's proposal. I stood in the bathing chamber, skin mostly dry, as I tied the sash on the robe. A pink flush stained my cheeks, and there was a near feverish brightness to my eyes. It was strange, the nervous flutter in my chest and stomach. Marrying Castile wasn't something new, but it was real now, and that changed everything. What was also strange was the unexpected feeling of lightness, as if a tremendous, suffocating weight had been lifted from me. I hadn't expected that. I'd thought more guilt would settle on me after admitting what I felt to Castile. Instead, the guilt and the feeling that I was betraying others and myself had left me. As I dragged the brush through my drying hair, I realized the guilt had actually left me in the cavern. I just hadn't realized it. And even though a lot of unknowns still faced us, the encroaching ascended and what felt like the first act in a war that hadn't been decreed yet, how Castile's parents would respond to the news of his marriage, and if his people would ever accept me, his brother and mine, and the whole biological differences between us that would one day become an issue, God's willing, when I aged and he barely showed signs of the passing decades. I was going to do exactly what Castile had said. We wouldn't borrow from tomorrow's problems, or even the problems we could very well face in a handful of hours, because I was about to marry the man I'd fallen in love with, the man I knew felt the same, even if he hadn't spoken the words. I was happy. I was scared. I was hopeful. I was excited. And all of those emotions were real. A knock on the main door drew me from the bathroom. I opened it to find Vanetta waiting, a splash of red draped over one arm and holding a small pouch in the other. "I hear there's going to be a wedding today," Vanetta announced as she swept into the room. "One Kieran is going to be so irritated he's not here for." I sort of, kind of, wish he was too. "Not that I'll ever admit that to him," I said. And she laughed. Closing the door, I followed her into the bedroom. It doesn't feel right that he's not here when Castile marries. It does feel weird, but I'm relieved. Not that he's missing the wedding. She looked over her shoulder at me as she laid what turned out to be a gown across the chaise. "But because he won't be here later." "I know. Castile is... he has a good heart. What he did, by sending Kieran away, they're bonded and I don't know if anyone else would have done that." "He does have a good heart," I agreed, feeling my cheeks flush. Vocally complimenting Castile wasn't something I did often. A smile appeared as she turned back to the gown, straightening the skirt. "Anyway, Kieran is probably glad he's not here for the actual ceremony part." My heart skipped a beat. I knew very little about an Atlantean wedding ceremony. The ones in Solus sometimes lasted days. The bride would cut her hair, and there was bathing in water anointed by the priestesses and priests. There were no vows, but many feasts. A particular part always came to mind when I thought of the Atlanteans. "Can I ask you something?"
"Ask away,"
Vanetta faced me. "I learned about the joining a few days ago." I fiddled with the sash on my robe. "Castile said it's not something that's done often, but is it something the Wolven would expect? Or the Atlanteans?"
"It really depends on the parties involved. Sometimes the blood exchange is done, and other times it's not. But the choice to do so gives the impression of there being a stronger, well, for lack of a better word, bond."
She shrugged, and I couldn't help but notice that she didn't appear weirded out. Nor did she speak about it as if it were something sexual or shameful. "It doesn't always happen at the wedding. I've known it to occur before and after." I nodded.
"But I don't think anyone expects you to do that," she added quickly.
My brows pinched. "Why?" She studied me for a moment and then said,
"You're not full-blooded Atlantean. There's never been a joining with one who has mortal blood."
"Because it extends the life of the mortal?" I asked.
"I imagine that has something to do with it. And it's not often a bonded Atlantean of an elemental line marries one with mortal blood. It's not forbidden, like the act of ascending is," she said, referencing the making of a vampire. "It simply hasn't been done."
I didn't know what to think of that. If the joining extended my lifespan, that could resolve at least one of tomorrow's problems. But I wasn't sure how I felt about tying my life to another's, or even the idea of living that long.
"Anyway, Castile stopped by when he was looking for my father and asked if I had anything that would be deserving of a princess to wear to her wedding. I told him no, that all I owned was deserving of a queen,"
she replied, and I grinned at that.
"Brides in Atlantia typically wear a veil of red or yellow to ward off evil spirits and bad blessings, but he mentioned that the veil would be a no-go."
Gods, that was incredibly thoughtful.
"So, I thought the red gown would be perfect, and it should fit, with the exception of being a bit on the long side. So just don't run around in it. I'll try not to. She picked it up, handing it to me. Underneath is a red slip, just basic. You should get changed. I have a feeling they'll be here soon. The flutter in my chest increased until it felt like a nest of a dozen birds had taken flight while Vanetta went into the living room. I quickly dressed, donning the silky slip that barely reached my thighs, and then stepped into the loosely draped gown of silk and chiffon. Gathered at the waist and form-fitting through the bust, it reminded me of the gown I'd worn the night of the rite. The skirt of the dress was sheer to the thigh, forming two gauzy panels, and delicate golden thread was woven throughout the entire dress, stitched to form delicate vines. The neckline was looser than the rest of the bodice, and the straps were fitted so that they lay just off the shoulders. There was no hiding the scars in this kind of dress, but I was done hiding them anyway. The gown is beautiful, I called out. A moment later, Vanetta returned. She smiled when she saw me. Definitely no running, though. I looked down to where the dress formed a crimson puddle against the tile. Definitely not. Come, sit. Let me see if I can do something with your hair, she said, tossing the pouch. Just hold on to this. Catching the pouch, I found it surprisingly weighty. I sat on the chaise, wondering what was in it, while Vanetta retrieved the brush and an army of pins from the bathing chamber. I thought I had a lot of hair, she said, gathering the sides of my hair. But damn, you almost have me beat. Running my fingers over the velvety pouch, I thought of Tawny. A friend of mine would sometimes help me braid it. Not braids like yours, but a couple that she would then twist into a knot so my hair wouldn't be visible under the veil. Your friend? Is she back in Solus? She asked after a couple of moments. Yes, her name is Tawny. You would like her, and she would love you. She's a second daughter, meaning she's destined to ascend, I explained, as she twisted and plaited the sides of my mostly dry hair. She has no idea what the ascended are truly like, and I have no idea if she'll ascend now, with me being gone. Kieran and Castile once told me that a lot of the people of Solus are innocent, that they are unaware of what the ascended really are. I used to find that hard to believe, she admitted, as she gathered the braided sides and began to twist them into a knot at the back of my head. But the more dissenters I met, the more I learned that the ascended are masters at hiding the truth. They are. I swallowed as I stared at where the curtains were secured to the posts and swayed slightly in the breeze from the open doors. My mind disobeyed me. I thought of tonight, and the possibility that the first group of ascended may reach Spessa's end. I hate what's about to happen, I blurted out, her fingers still. The wedding? No, gods, I'm actually looking forward to that, I said, letting out a little laugh. You sound like that surprises you. It does, I admitted softly. I was thinking about the ascended, what they may do when they reach here. I hate that I'm the reason everything you all built here is now at risk. We were always at risk, Vanetta said. Sooner or later, we would have been discovered, and there would be a fight. We all knew that when we agreed to come here. But like with New Haven, I was the catalyst that made things happen sooner, before they were ready. I imagine most brides don't think of sieges on the night of their weddings. You're not most brides, are you? Gods, she had no idea how true that was. You're about to marry the handsome, albeit annoying as hell, Prince of Atlantia, Penelope. Her warm hands brushed my shoulders as she gathered up the rest of my hair, letting it lay against my back. And from what I've learned about you from my brother and Castile, the Ascended have already stolen a lot of joy from you. Don't let them steal this. I drew in a deep breath and nodded. I won't. Good. Can you open the pouch? She asked, and hand me what's in it. Looking down, I unraveled the string and reached inside. My lips parted as I pulled out several strands of diamonds. Pretty, isn't it? It's not the nicest of necklaces, but I like its simplicity. This is simple? I stared at the bright diamonds strung across three layers of chains. There had to be at least half a dozen diamonds per chain. Compared to the standard in Atlantia? Yes. I thought of the diamond Castile had promised, and my eyes widened. Diamonds are also a tradition here. Veneta took the necklace from me, and I lifted the hair that she had left down. They are the joyous tears of the gods, given form, she explained, securing the clasp. Wearing them means the gods are with you even as they slumber. Did they have such a tradition in Solus? I shook my head as I fixed the strands. Diamonds only represent wealth in Solus. Those who had the means would hold celebrations that lasted days. I've never been to one, but from what I know, the Ascended took center stage during the weddings, not the gods. I can't even imagine a wedding that takes days to complete. Are they like that in Atlantia? They should typically last a few hours, which is why Kieran would be glad to be missing that part. She walked around the chaise. But with my father officiating the wedding, I doubt it will last more than a few minutes. Oh, thank the gods, I exclaimed as I stood. I'm sorry, days or hours is just... it's too long. Veneta laughed as I roamed into the bathing chamber. You may luck out with the ceremony, but I imagine that once you reach Evimon, the king and queen will demand a celebration in your honor and to introduce you to your subjects. That will last days. My subjects. Days-long celebrations. I couldn't think of that as I looked at my reflection. The three rows of diamonds glittered in the soft lamplight. The dress and my hair, all of it was beautiful, and it was more than I expected or hoped for, or even what I knew I needed. I spun toward her. Thank you for this, for all of this. It means a lot, Veneta. It's not a big deal, but you're welcome. It was a big deal to look and feel like a bride when it was real. Will you be at the wedding? I asked, and then laughed. I don't even know where the wedding will be held. I can be, if you'd like, and if you call me Netta. That's what my friends call me, and since I'm attending your wedding, I imagine we're friends. I smiled as I nodded. As long as you call me Poppy, that's what my friends call me. That I can do. By the way, the wedding will be here. Outside, actually. They are always outside, no matter the weather. And you won't wear shoes. Because both need to be standing on Atlantean soil? I surmised. Correct. She brushed several braids over her shoulder. And it's time. They're here. Wolven's senses must be amazing, I said, as my heart started to pound once more. She grinned. They are. But I saw my father walk past the window. Oh, I laughed. Well then. You ready? Nodding, I started to follow her out, but then stopped. One second. Hurrying to the bed, I picked up the Wolven dagger and secured it around my thigh. Planning to stab him during the ceremony? Veneta asked. Why does everyone act like I'm seconds away from stabbing Castile? I demanded. Apparently, you have a habit of it. I only stabbed him a few times. I turned, fixing the skirt of the gown. The dagger was given to me by someone I care about. He was like a father to me, and in a way, He'll be with me when I do something he never thought I'd be able to do. Something I knew Victor would have been happy to see, even though I was marrying the Prince of Atlantia. In my heart of hearts, I knew that all that would have mattered to Victor was that I wanted this and that I was cherished. And I knew both were true. They had been true for longer than I realized. Chapter 37. The sun was high above our heads, the breeze pleasant, and the sandy dirt and grass warm under my bare feet as I walked willingly toward him. Hawk, the Dark One, Prince Castile Danir. Other people waited outside in the courtyard. Jasper was there. Nail and Delano stood behind Castile to his left. Guardians were on the rise, keeping watch, and Veneta was behind me. But all I saw was Castile. He cut a striking figure in all black, possessing the wild and primal beauty that always reminded me of the cave cat I'd once seen. He stood barefoot in the soil reclaimed by Atlantia, and I didn't think he saw anyone else as I walked forward. He stared at me with eyes luminous even in the sunlight, and an almost startled look etched upon his features, as if he were utterly caught off guard. I'd seen that look before, especially when I smiled or laughed. He too seemed unaware of anyone else, even as Veneta walked ahead and spoke to him. He stared, even as he reached into his pocket and handed her something. And when I let my senses reach him, I felt what I always did from him, except the tartness of conflict was gone, and the chocolate and berries taste was far stronger. I couldn't take my eyes off him, not until Veneta returned to my side and pressed something warm and metallic against my palm. "The ring, for Castile," she whispered. "He had the blacksmith make them." I looked down at the gleaming golden band. There was some sort of inscription on the inside, but I couldn't make out what it was. Curling my fingers around the band, I didn't remember how I got there, but suddenly I was standing in front of Castile. He stared at me like I imagined one would if they saw a god standing before them. "You look..." Castile cleared his throat as the shadows of clouds drifted over the courtyard. "You look beautiful, Poppy. Absolutely." His gaze roamed over me, from the braids in my hair to the diamonds at my neck, and then down the fitted bodice to the sheer layers of the skirt that rippled in the wind. A slow grin spread across his lips. The dimple in his right cheek appeared, and then the left. He dipped his head, his lips brushing against the shell of my ear as he spoke. "Am I seeing things? Or is that your dagger strapped to your thigh?" I grinned. "You're not seeing things. You are an absolutely stunning, murderous little creature," he murmured.
"There'll be time for all the sweet whispers later," Jasper said, and when Castile pulled back, there was a fire in his eyes. "You do look lovely, Penelope."
"Thank you," I said.
"What about me?"
Castile asked, and behind him, Nail sighed.
"You look possible."
"That was rude," he replied.
"Would you like to go sit in the shade and nurse your wounded feelings like you did when you were young and inevitably injured yourself doing something incredibly stupid?"
Castile's brows lowered as he looked over at Jasper.
"This marriage ceremony is starting off in a really weird way."
"True," the Wolven chuckled. "Let's get this started, because I'm sure you're more eager to finish the ceremony than you are to start it."
Castile shot the Wolven a dark look, and I wondered exactly what that meant.
"I need both of you to face me,"
Jasper instructed, and then he waited until we did just that. He smiled at me, and my emotions were too scattered to read his, but there was fondness in his gaze.
"I don't know how much you know about Atlantean marriages or how they differ from what is done in Solus, but I'll walk you through it, okay?"
"Okay," I whispered.
"Good. It's pretty simple. There are no vows.
None that are spoken, anyway.
He continued as the clouds overhead cast us in shadows. He briefly glanced up at the sky, raising a brow.
Each of you holds your ring in your left hands and joins your right together.
Castile held his right hand palm up as I looked over at him. There was no smile on his face then, just a certain intent to the set of his lips and in his gaze. Pulse pounding, I placed my right hand in his. The jolt traveled up my arm, and based on the slight widening of his eyes, I knew he felt it too.
Lower to your knees, Castile first,
Jasper said, and he did just that.
Now you, Penelope.
Castile's hand tightened on mine as I moved to my knees, our gazes remaining locked.
Place your rings in the soil between you so that they overlap,
Jasper said, and Castile placed a golden band, one smaller than the one I held, on the sandy soil. I placed the larger one on top, so the openings overlapped. Castile knew the next steps. He didn't look away from me as he picked up the dirt and sprinkled it over the rings. He nodded, and I did the same, feeling the grainy dirt sift between my fingers as I repeated his actions. Thick clouds gathered above us as Castile whispered,
"This next part may hurt, but only for a few moments."
Trusting him, I nodded.
"Lift your left hands, palms up."
Jasper knelt before us, and with a brief glance, I saw that he held a dagger, one I'd never seen before. Like the swords the guardians carried, the blade was gold.
"I will make a cut in each of your palms. It will hurt for a moment, and you will do with your blood what you did with the soil. The wound will heal at once, but you both will carry the mark until the union is ended by death or decree."
I wasn't sure how a wound of mine would heal immediately. "And that is all?"
"Usually these proceedings are a bit more drawn out, but this will be it, at least for the parts I'm involved in."
A teasing glint filled Jasper's pale eyes.
"Castile will have to fill you in on the rest."
"I will."
Castile gave me a quick grin.
"Gladly."
A shiver broke out over my skin as I lifted my left hand, palm up. Castile did the same as he leaned over, crossing the distance between us. His lips brushed mine as he said,
"Just a moment of pain."
"I know," I whispered. "I trust you." I heard the breath Castile took, and I knew what that meant for me to say that, for him to hear it.
"Unworthy,"
he whispered. And then he kissed me at the exact moment I felt the sharp sting of Jasper's dagger against my palm. The kiss was as brief as the pain, but so much sweeter. Castile withdrew, pressing our hands together palm to palm. He threaded his fingers through mine as he guided our joined hands to the rings. Air hitched in my throat as I watched my blood, our blood, slide down our palms to our wrists. A drop, and then two fell, splashing the rings. Jasper was quiet as Castile eased his hand from mine. He picked up the smaller ring, his right hand still clasping mine.
"I'll put the ring on you, and then you'll put the other ring on me."
I nodded.
"Turn your palm up to the sky," he said quietly.
When I turned my hand over, my eyes widened. The cut had closed, but across the center of my palm was a thin swirl of vibrant gold that shimmered even with the sunlight obscured by clouds.
"How?"
Castile grinned at me.
"Magic."
It had to be that. My hand was surprisingly steady as he slipped the dirt and blood-streaked ring over my pointer finger. It was a little loose, but I didn't believe it would slip off.
"Your turn."
I picked up his and held my breath as I fitted it over his finger. And then I watched in stunned silence as the dirt and blood seeped into the rings. The bands flared an intense gold and then faded. Their surfaces now pristine.
"It's done,"
Jasper said, rising.
You are husband and wife.
The day turned to night. My lips parted as I looked up. The gathering clouds had turned the sky the black of midnight, from the east to the west, to the south and north. Not a single trace of sunlight could be seen, even though it couldn't be more than an hour or two past noon.
My gods,
Vanetta whispered. Castile rose swiftly, bringing me with him. He pulled me to his side as he stared up at the black sky.
Is this an omen? I asked. It is,
Jasper confirmed, his voice rough.
I haven't seen anything like this since... Gods, since your mother and father married. And even then, Castile, it wasn't like this.
Castile lowered his gaze to the wolven.
This is an omen, a powerful one.
Jasper shook his head in wonder.
A good one from the King of Gods.
The unnatural clouds started to scatter, and sunlight broke through as Jasper smiled.
Nyctos, even asleep, approves of this union.
The gold band glimmered in the sunlight cascading through the windows of our bedchamber. Slowly, I turned my hand over. The swirl of shimmering gold followed the line closest to my fingers. I dragged my thumb over the curling line. The heavy dusting of gold didn't disappear, and I couldn't believe I was married, that I'd gone from being Penelope Balfour to the maiden, and now Penelope Dunear.
I hope you're not already having second thoughts, but if so, it's not going to rub off.
My head jerked up as Castile strode out of the bathing chamber. I'm not trying to rub it off. I watched him walk around the bed, my heart already tripping in my chest. And I'm not having second thoughts. I just don't understand how this is possible. The gold on my hand. How the blood and dirt just sank into the rings and disappeared.
When I said it was magic, I was only half teasing.
He sat beside me, taking my hand. The contact sent a jolt of awareness through me.
It's the gods. They're magic.
He ran his finger along the mark.
And this is like a tattoo, but goes deeper than ink. All married Atlanteans have this imprint until their marriage ends,
through death or decree. Dark waves tumbled over his forehead as he nodded.
The mark will then disappear.
That would be a terrible way to discover that someone died. I shivered. Castile's gaze lifted to mine.
Did you not believe in the gods at all?
I started to say yes, that I did, but it was more complicated than that. I believed what I'd been taught about the gods by the Ascended. The only magic was the blessing. Other than that, they were like silent sentinels who watched over us, and that it was our duty to serve them through the rite. I laughed at myself. Now, when I say that out loud, I recognize how ridiculous it sounds, how blind I'd been.
It only sounds that way to someone taught differently from birth.
We thought their magic was the ascension, that the ascended were proof of that power, I said, as Castile trailed his fingers to the ring around my pointer finger. I realized something. It surprised me when you placed the ring on my pointer finger. In Solus, the ring is worn on the fourth finger, but the line the imprint is on is closest to the pointer finger.
Clever girl,
he murmured, brushing back the strands of hair that had fallen over my shoulder.
The line on your palm is believed to be the one connected to your heart. That is why the imprint is made there.
It's sort of beautiful, I admitted.
It is,
he said, and I could feel his gaze on me, my breath caught.
I don't know about you, but I'm feeling all kinds of special,
he added, as he skimmed his fingers over the back of my neck, and then the delicate chains of the necklace.
It has been several hundred years since Nyctos has made his approval of a union known.
My pulse skipped. Not since your parents?
So I've heard.
My father would boast about it, tell any who listened that the day turned to night when the ceremony was completed. I don't think Malik or I believed him, but he wasn't lying. And Nyctos hasn't done that for anyone since then? Apparently not. That is good news, Poppy. Unlike the Blood Forest tree that appeared in New Haven.
We don't know if that was good or bad, he replied. We just know it was really weird.
I laughed, unable to help myself. And it felt good to do that. To not fight a laugh or a smile, and to be happy. That look crossed Castile's features again. The one he wore when I approached him before the ceremony. The one he wore every time he heard me laugh or smile. Why? Curiosity filled me. Why do you look like that when I laugh or smile? Because it is a beautiful sound, and smile, and you don't do it nearly enough.
A slight flush crept across his cheeks as he looked at my hand.
And every time I hear it, it feels like I've heard it before. And I mean, like, before I even met you. Like, deja vu, but different.
That made me think of what Kieran had shared. What does heartmates mean? I blurted out.
Castile's gaze returned to mine. How have you heard of heartmates, but not the marriage imprint?
Well, I drew out the word. You see, you have this bonded wolven that often says very vague, mostly unhelpful things. He laughed at that.
He does, doesn't he?
He spoke to you about heartmates? When?
A few days ago. What felt like an eternity ago.
He said he thought we were heartmates, and I thought he was crazy. He didn't tell me what it meant, other than something about it being more powerful than bloodlines and gods.
That was vague.